Okay, today's topic is going to be on saints. Let's pray. Please, Father, let these words go out. Let them be what we need to hear today. As Don said earlier, Happy All Saints Day. All you former Catholics know exactly what I'm talking about. And if you are Catholic school kids, this was a day off. A holy day of obligation to go to church. As a former Catholic, this is the day to celebrate saints. As most of you know, my father died recently. And again, thanks for the prayers and cards. I watched him die. And also I watched how my family prayed. Since becoming an elder and a Christian, I've been interested in the Catholic process of dying. Sounds morbid, but I've never seen this happen before. This was the first time I had someone close to me die, so this was all new. They called the family priest in, and he prayed over him, anointed him with oil, gave him his last rites, or now it's called the anointing of the sick. It's when the priest comes in and prays over you and has his oil and puts a little cross on your head. I think your mouth and your chest on. Is that how they did it? Okay. Anyway, they do the oil thing. And, you know, forgive your sins and that sort of thing. Anyway, they prayed to saints to guide him into heaven. That sounded strange to me. I was watching this from a few feet back and wondering where they got this idea from. I admit it, I'm no scholar, but my reading of the Bible doesn't say any of this. How can a dead person lead anyone to anywhere? There was another priest there also. He had just come from Rome and was on vacation. He claimed he had a papal pardon from the Pope. He even acted like he was pulling it out of his coat pocket. Me, being ever with a quick tongue and a slow mind, piped off with, I need one of those for myself. For those of you who don't know what a papal pardon is, it's a get-out-of-hell-free card. The Pope says, bypass purgatory. My dad was now sin-free and goes straight to heaven, bypassing purgatory. Then the priest called him Saint Dick. Wow. That was great, I thought. Straight to heaven. Needless to say, I was confused. The Bible doesn't say that's how it works, at least to my knowledge. The dictionary defines a saint as a very holy person who is upright in life. A Buddhist saint is a person who is very humble, patient, or like a saint other ways. Another definition, a person who has gone to heaven, one of the blessed dead in heaven, distinguished from the angels who are supernatural beings. That is a basic definition. Getting back to my father's death, listening to my family's plea to Mary and Joseph to guide him to heaven, to forgive his sins was sad. My dad was very sick. It was his time to go. I was thankful that he went fast. His body was shutting down and my mom couldn't take care of him anymore. And he was scared to death to go to a home. It bothered me that I, being the black sheep of the family, in other words, non-Catholic, my family didn't think my prayers counted. I was praying for his comfort in his last days, but wasn't reciting their rote prayers. I realized one thing. Due to the traditions of their church, there was no reassurance of life after his death. So what is a saint in Christian church? Comes from the Greek word, I'm going to brutalize this, hagios, H-A-G-I-O-S, meaning consecrated by God, holy, sacred, pious. Wow, I looked up the Greek. I did some research. First time. Anyway, what does it take to become a saint? The Catholics say two miracles and the Pope's approval. Well, I looked it up. I spent hours on the internet looking at this stuff. Lost my place. Thank you. It's two miracles. Our Bible says belief in our Savior. Don't believe me? Look at Acts 9:13. It says, "Lord," Ananias answered, "I've heard many reports about this man and the harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem." This was talking about Paul's conversion after he got knocked off his donkey and was blind and waiting. Need to say this about Paul. Ananias was being told to go to him by God, and he was referring to the live believers that Paul was killing. God did not correct Ananias. Another place we can look at is Acts 9:32, which says, "As Peter traveled about the country, he went to visit the saints in Lydia." Same Greek word as before. Not visiting tombs. He was visiting the live believers. Look at Philippians 4:21. "Greet all the saints in Christ Jesus. The brothers who are with me send greetings." Not going to a graveyard. Going to see real people. Again, these aren't dead people the Bible is talking about. These are the current living believers. I don't know where people got the idea that you had to be dead to be a saint, or why you can pray to a dead person like they have some sort of pull with God. You can see my frustration with my dad. They were hoping that some outside source was going to save him from the fires of hell. Trust me, I tried to talk to my dad about his salvation, but it didn't work. I was supposed to be the family priest and didn't do that. In their eyes, I'd abandoned Mother Church and I was going to hell. Such is life, but even Jesus said that families would turn against each other in his name. Side note here. If your non-Christian family won't listen to you, don't worry about it. Jesus was chased from his hometown also. Mark 6:4-6 says, "Jesus said to them, only in his hometown, among his relatives in his own house, is a prophet without honor. He could not do any miracles there except lay hands on a few sick people and heal them. And he was amazed at their lack of faith." Jesus in his hometown, people doing miracles, and I just can't imagine them not believing. So if they wouldn't listen to him, don't feel bad. All you can really do is pray and hope that someone will come along that your family will listen to. Getting back to the subject at hand, how do you achieve sainthood? Acts 16:30-31 says, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved, you and your household. Once you are saved, you join the company of saints. You become a saint." You become saint. Insert your name here. "You've now joined the company of believers who are on their way to heaven when they die. The angels in heaven will rejoice at your conversion. Party time in heaven when you accept." It's funny how simple the Bible makes it becoming a saint, yet other religions make it hard. They somehow require proof that you made it to heaven. Take St. Patrick, patron saint of the Irish. We all at one time or another celebrated that wonderful holiday wearing green and drinking green beer. I did some research on him too. Born to a pastor in the second half of the 5th century in Great Britain, they said he wasn't raised religious, yet his father was a pastor. He was captured by Irish pirates at the age of 16 and sold into slavery. For 6 years, he took care of sheep in Ireland and finally escaped to France. He wandered the countryside for 26 days, leading some men that went with him. One night, he had a dream that an angel was handing him letters. The letters were telling him to go and preach God's word to the pagans in Ireland. He then went to school, became a priest and a missionary. He went back to Ireland and combined Catholic teachings with pagan rituals. He was credited with using the shamrock to explain the Trinity. The Pope, the Pope anointed him Bishop of Ireland. Once he died, they made him a saint by saying he was. He was never canonized. He was also credited with chasing all the snakes from Ireland. Fossil records show they were never there. The history on him is muddled. There wasn't much written about him at the time. This was all after the fact. The stuff I was reading was 16th, 17th, 18th century stuff. Another well-known saint is Saint Jude. He, as it turns out, was the Apostle Thaddeus. I didn't know this. According to Wikipedia, yes, I'm quoting Wikipedia, I'm sorry. Thaddeus was his nickname. Strange, but okay. They didn't want to confuse him with the bad Judas. Saint Jude is the patron saint of hope in impossible causes. That's why there are so many hospitals named after him. My research also shows that he was either Jesus' half-brother or the bridegroom at the wedding feast of Cana. Either way, he was an apostle. He does have a book in the New Testament. How they figure out what they're patron saints of, I never did find out. I guess people were praying and miracles happened and they got credited. I keep trying to figure out why people pray to saints. It was explained to me by some people that since they are in heaven, that they have an in with God. They present your prayers to God. Like using your mom to get something from your dad. Sounds right in line with the Bible says, not. Another thing, I was told that they're examples on how to live. Study their lives and they can be an example how to live. I can deal with that, but to pray to them, no way. Using someone like Mother Teresa as an example, as a way to live, is a great idea. Yes, I'm willing to bet she's in heaven, but I'm not going to pray to her. John 14:8 says, Jesus answered them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and you have seen him. This is the verse trying to comfort the 12. He was telling them that he would be leaving soon, and this was their way of getting to him. A few verses down, it says in John 14:13-14, it says, And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name, and it will be, and I will do it. He didn't say ask through Moses' name or Isaiah's name. He said ask in his name. It's obvious to me. When I started my journey on becoming a Christian, I had to break through a lot of baggage from my past. Saying these rote prayers, I was taught, and then realizing that it was all false teaching, I soon realized that the traditions had seeped back into the church. The one I grew up in claimed, and still do, that they were the first and true church. All other Christian churches came from them. Thank God that they did. All their Christian churches came from them. Thank God that they did, or we'd all be lost like Israel. My mother church was acting more like the priests of Jesus' day, putting more into what they said than what Jesus' teachings were or are. Again, people who were in charge made it in their image. Why do we always have to make it so hard? Why do we let ourselves get in the way of his teachings? It gets frustrating at times when you look around and see how we've changed a simple gospel message. Happy Reformation Sunday. Didn't forget. Thank God for Martin Luther. He came and saved the day. A poor priest who knew he couldn't live the life prescribed in the Bible. He couldn't do it on his own no matter how hard he tried, going to confession daily, even multiple times a day, because he was taught you had to have your sins forgiven by a priest or you went to hell. He wasn't taught about the gift of grace freely given. One day a standing brook threw to him and he found God's grace. Now he understood what the Bible was teaching and tried to share it with the church. And just like in Jesus' times, he was rejected. He put up the 95 theses and the floodgates of change broke open. He was called a heretic and they wanted to kill him. Sound familiar? Shaking up the system isn't easy. We are all called to be keepers of the word. We are all responsible to know the word and hold our leaders' feet to the fire. I know that I might get off base and I expect you to hold me accountable. It's the same thing with Jerry. I'm responsible to make sure that his preaching is true. Martin Luther was a reformer. He didn't want to break up the church. He wanted to fix it. He wanted to show the grace that he found so that they would be set free. But we all like our traditions. We like our rules. We feel comfortable doing it that way. Jesus said, "He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him." Do you know him? Are you a saint? If not, talk to someone who is. So you can join the choirs of angels singing God's praises. He's waiting for you. Let's pray. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that you sent the reformers to fix what was broken. Thank you that you are the way and that all we need is your grace and that you give it freely. Please be with those of us here who don't know you and give us the courage to ask for you to come into our lives. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. I do have a copy of the 95 Theses if anyone would like to see them. So we'll run copies for you after.